Hour three, third and final hour of your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. Welcome back to the program. 651-989-5855 is the phone number if you want to actually have a conversation.
The point of vaccines, we are newly told, is to protect against severe outcomes. Okay, according to this article from Real Clear Markets, that's reasonable enough, except that we know the demographics of severe outcomes, and hence the question presents itself. Why is the policy priority near universal vaccination? None of this makes sense. If you are still looking for policies to make sense, which you probably gave up on long ago. Now the great mask conundrum. In May, Fauci showed up at a Senate hearing fully vaccinated but wearing a mask. Rand Paul lit into him, claiming this was absurd. Fauci, he said, was undermining the confidence of the vaccines. We need to give people a reward for being vaccinated, he said. You can't even take your mask off. Why bother? I suspect the CDC listened carefully to his point because Senator Paul might be just the one guy, but he is positioned to impact the policy because he has an unusual access to the public and to Fauci himself. The CDC had become very aware the vaccination rates had flattened. They figured it was worth a try. So in early May, the agency did a messaging turnaround. It announced that people who are vaccinated no longer need to wear a mask. Fauci dutifully went on all the talk shows and invited the vaccinated to enjoy their privileges, even smiled while he said it. That was an interesting day for me, the writer says, because many of my anti-lockdown friends celebrated the 16 months, felt like years, of living in hell had officially ended. They were correct for everyone except the poor children who, because there is no vaccine for them, became permanently marked as wild-born disease carriers, even though they are not. And this idea, by the way, when it comes to the masks right now, let's get back into the effectiveness. Let's go off the idea for a second that the masks are effective. The whole point of the 6 feet social distancing, right, was to make sure they could be effective. Because if you believe that masks are effective, what the researchers have found out and what we mentioned last hour was the fact that, sure, they'll keep some droplets from moving out, but at a distance of less than 6 feet, it doesn't matter.
Statistically insignificant.
And somebody made a point that I need to reiterate this again. It's probably one of the best and grossest examples you can give. But think about it for a moment. If you're sitting next to somebody, right, who's got multi-layers of clothing on, and they pass gas, can you smell it? I rest my case. Right? How many layers?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've had... Yeah. You know, underwear, pants, snow pants, and still been like, dude, just do that someplace else for crying out loud.
Leave the room.
And yet what's happening right now? They're not talking about social distancing in schools. They're not talking about hand sanitizer in schools. They're not talking about washing your hands at schools. They're going to cram all the little kiddies into the classrooms, stack them full, but have them in their masks. When they've got a student in front of them that's like 3 feet away, a person to their right that's 2 feet away.
And ask anybody that's actually worked in schools. These kids, their masks are disgusting. Their masks are disgusting. Okay? They're coming to school with old, dirty, snot-filled masks. I mean, you know, they're getting more problems from the masks themselves than those masks could ever hope to prevent. They're not doing it right. And if you're not doing it right, you might as well not do it at all when it comes to mask wearing.
It's all propaganda, man. It's all propaganda.
It's just the teachers' union. They just want it. They just want it. They want less kids in the classrooms. They want less work for their teachers. They want more money. And the CDC is being led around by the nose by the teachers' union. The fact that the CDC would use this discredited study out of India that followed people that have taken a vaccine that isn't even approved in America and use that to change guidance for schools and mask wearing is unbelievable to me. You talk about an agency that is barely hanging on to whatever shred of credibility they have left and one of the most important agencies when it comes to credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there aren't that many agencies at that level, the federal government level, that need credibility more than the Center for Disease Control. And they have thrown it all away for partisan political purposes.
Let's go and talk with
really disappointing
Joe in Shakopee. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. Thanks for calling in. We'd love to take your phone calls.
Yeah, and I won't hang up on you.
Thank you, sir.
We can go back and forth all, as long as you want.
Yeah, well, that's all true. I can't even hang up on anybody from over here. So,
okay. And tell Sam to be nice to me. So, here's the deal. I mean, I'm going to be. I work in a school setting. I'm not vaccinated. Haven't been. I did have the vid back in late December, early January. I got kind of my laundry list of things here that drive me nuts. And I listen to you guys every morning. I switched over from your partner station there that
Thank
is
you.
A little bit too liberal political for me. But anyway, so what I'm just really growing tired of, I have a sister that works in medical research, and she's completely opposed to this vaccine right now from the standpoint of medical reason for mRNA research and just what we don't know. But what I'm getting frustrated with lately again here on round two, the school thing is nuts. The public schools are nuts. I work in one, but they're nuts. We're losing this sense of emergency use, I think. Not losing that sense, but none of these Fauci jabbers, you know, they don't talk about that enough to say, if this was so much a quick and easy fix, why haven't they approved it from the FDA standpoint yet? Number two, there's a Delta spread, but there's no death. You guys can use it if you want. You can trademark that. But, you know, there might be a Delta spread. They keep talking about how dangerous and how fast it's spreading, but there's no death counts going up. Look at the CDC sites.
Yep, you're 100% correct.
Look at the vaccine versus those who've had COVID. They do not want to talk about that in these schools or anywhere else either. If you read the research, is that if you've had COVID and were positive, your immunity is basically equal to somebody who got the vaccine. They just don't want it. They don't bring that up very often. Another thing is, if you look at the state vaccine by county, when they keep talking about, you know, all of us conservatives, Trump loving Republicans, which they also always leave out is that Trump is the one who put it in. Trump is the one who got vaccinated. His daughter got vaccinated.
It's his
on
vaccine,
national TV.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's nuts. But if you look at the county on the CDC stuff, it's not this number that they're throwing out of Minnesota's got seven. That's got to be bunk. There's no way. Look at the counties. They're all under 50% county by county. That aren't vaccinated.
You have more?
I mean, we're talking 43%, 40%. On the CD, you can go by county by county.
Joe, you have more people, and we documented this yesterday, you have more people in the country right now dying, right, on a seven-day rolling average from Alzheimer's and heart disease than you do COVID-19. That is a statistical fact. 340 children in the past year from ages 0 to 17 have died nationwide from COVID-19. 800 die every year from drowning. Where we are in the country right now with COVID-19 is the same place we are with anything else that we're dealing with that causes a risk in life. We have instances, and Drew, you pointed this out accurately yesterday. We have instances of the flu. And what do we hear? It is a bad flu year, which means more people are going to die. And
25,000-ish people annually would die from the flu. But somehow in 2020, like none did.
You have more people end up in the hospital. You get an uptick in the hospital. Now, look, I'm not saying COVID is the flu. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is we've reached a level because of the availability of the vaccine and because of the availability of treatments and because of the availability of hospital beds across the country that we are more than equipped to deal with a spike in infections because the death rate is not skyrocketing. The hospitals are more than prepared to deal with an influx of individuals just like they are when we have a bad flu season. We are at a point now where we can successfully mitigate the risk of COVID-19 in this country, but there is a political party out there that refuses to let America go back to their own lives.
And you nailed it yesterday. I mean, you know, Joe Biden runs for office, tells America he's got a plan. I've got a plan to squash the virus. I've got a plan to end the pandemic. I've got a plan to defeat COVID-19. And he doesn't. He was lying. And we get to July 4th. He's missed all of his goals. He starts blaming Facebook. He starts blaming 12 people on social media that he missed all of his goals. So the economy isn't coming back the way that he expected it would, maybe, or the way that maybe they thought it would if Joe Biden won. So they need to distract people.
Yep.
They need to get people to, hey, look over there. Hey, look over there. We got this January 6th commission.
Mm-hmm.
Go over here. It's really compelling TV because we basically scripted it.
Yeah.
So, you know, go
people
watch that.
People are crying and stuff.
Yeah, and then also be very afraid of Delta so that you're not paying attention and you're not talking about his failures. I'm just blown away at how inconsistent and the lack of consistency and the lack of standards when it comes to the way that the media treats politicians, when the way the media is treating the Biden administration compared to how they treated the Trump administration. If the Trump administration had set a July 4th goal for 70% vaccinated and missed that goal, it would be nonstop. You're a failure. You should resign. You should impeach. People are dying. You didn't hit your goals. But when Joe Biden misses his goals and he blames Facebook and he blames your grandmother on Facebook for forwarding things, and he blames 12 people on Facebook, the same media goes, yeah, Facebook's bad. Facebook's a problem. You people are idiots if you buy into this stuff.
I'm following what Governor Tim Walz told me the first time, and that was, hey, the key to getting back to normal life is getting vaccinated. Well, guess what? My whole family did. You want to try to tell us to go wear masks again? You can go pound sand. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. We're going back to our lives here in this country. And I'm telling you, if they move forward with mandatory mask mandates, I think there's a high probability that's going to be the breaking point.
We have learned to live with the flu, and the flu would kill, like I said, 20,000 plus annually. And we learned to live with it. And we didn't tell anybody that they had to shut down their business. We didn't tell anybody that they couldn't send their kids to school. We didn't tell anybody that they had to wear a mask in a grocery store or in a school building every year with the flu. COVID-19, while, yeah, it's not the flu, we're going to have to live with it in the exact same manner. Get used to it.
Let's go talk to Joe in Blaine. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Yeah, the mask. I was curious one day, so I looked up because I was walking through one of the big home improvement stores, and I could smell the sawdust. So I'm like, okay, so what's the micron size of sawdust, and what's the micron size of the virus?
Right.
The sawdust is like 100 times better. And then, you know, I work with some people that have some horrendous coffee breath, and I can smell that through their mask and my mask. Yeah, don't tell me the mask works.
Yeah, I know, right?
No.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you, Joe. Your examples are way less gross than mine. I appreciate that. Let's go and talk with Teddy in St. Paul. Good morning, Teddy. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew.
Good morning. Thank you, guys. Love your show.
Thanks.
I think, you know, I know the masks, it was whatever, but I think we should be concerned about these shots because I went to the doctor yesterday to get a checkup on my asthma, and they were trying to talk me into getting a shot. So I was asking the questions, do you have any tests that I can do, you know, since we got all this research and all this other stuff, and you guys want people to have the shots, is there something I can take so I can see what kind of reaction that I would have? And they were, like, telling me no. So I'm like, well, what about these breakthrough cases? You know, people get shot, you know, that are getting these shots, and all of a sudden we got this, we got all these outbreaks. And then, two, what about the state fair? If everyone's so concerned about all the face covering and everyone getting their shots, why are we still having the state fair?
Well, Walz has been threatening. He's holding that. He's dangling the threat out there. And again, I'm just going to keep saying it. They're not talking about social distancing. They're not telling you to wash your hands. They're not telling you to use hand sanitizers. Those were all the first things they said to do. Those were all the things to mitigate it. Because that's how you normally mitigate this stuff. The mask came way on the back end of all of it. Oh, but guess what? You can't really propagandize people washing their hands. You can't really propagandize using hand sanitizer. But you can if everybody's walking around with a piece of cloth on their face or some plastic clear shield that's 3 feet off their mouth, but apparently that's going to stop the virus from infecting somebody else.
Yeah. A lot of misinformation. A lot of people lying out there. A lot of people with agendas. Here's a. Can I do a tale of two headlines?
Please go right ahead, Drew.
From Vox, right? The Vox, the outlet that likes to explain everything. Mm-hmm. All their headlines are, you know, blah blah blah, comma explain.
They have a whole show on Netflix called Explain.
So Vox headline from June 26, 2020. The effect of Black Lives Matter protests on coronavirus cases explained. Coronavirus cases are increasing, but Black Lives Matter protests may not be to blame. All right. Then January 10th, 2021, Vox headline. The attack on the Capitol may have also been a super spreader event.
Okay.
So really, you know, the chances of, you know, a big event like that spreading coronavirus really depends on the political alignment of the groups participating. Because that's science.
Yeah, that's actually the key to this whole thing.
All right. A lot more people on hold. We'll continue to take your calls. We will be joined by Katie Pavlich coming up at 8:40. Stick around.
The evidence. I lay it all out on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. And on iHeartRadio with your smart speaker.
Katie Pavlich from Fox News will be joining us in just a few minutes as we continue our discussion about the fall of Western civilization here on Twin Cities News Talk. Justice and Drew.
Wednesday, June 24th, 2020, CNN headline, Black Lives Matter protests have not led to a spike in coronavirus cases.
Right.
CNN, January 24th, 2021, 38 Capitol police officers test positive for COVID-19 after Capitol riot. USA Today. Back in June of 2020, coronavirus surges aren't linked to Black Lives Matter protests. USA Today, shortly after January 36, Dr. Robert Redfield is worried that the storming of the U.S. Capitol will be a surge event for the coronavirus. Did Floyd protests lead to a virus surge? New York Times asks and says no. New York Times a little bit later, did mixing a riot with a pandemic yield a super spreader event?
Unbelievable.
It's also agenda-driven.
It's all agenda.
It's also agenda-driven. Look, if you're going to make the argument that the Capitol riot on January 6th could have been a super spreader event, you cannot sit here and with a straight face and tell me that all of the Black Lives Matter protests that turned into riots aren't the exact same thing.
Right.
You got a bunch of people crowded together, most of them not wearing masks. What's the difference?
If we had a federal government or a state government that we could trust, what we would be talking about right now is what we mentioned a moment ago. And that is, we can live with this virus. Okay? And we should be applauding the efforts of everybody involved, from the frontline workers to Johnson & Johnson to Pfizer to Moderna, right? To everybody who has created this vaccine or experimental drug, depending on what you want to call it, right? Because we can. We can live with it now. There's no vaccine hesitancy out there. There's people that don't want to get it. And if they don't want to get it, that's on them. And if they end up in the hospital, we have room for that. We have room for them. We have a vaccine. And just like we deal with, as Drew mentioned, and as I mentioned, just like we deal with years where you have the flu is really, really bad and it goes around and more people end up in the hospital, people die then too. We have the infrastructure in place. We have the ventilators. We have the treatments. We know how to deal with this. We know how to live with it. And guess what? It's not going anywhere. But the federal government and the left, more specifically, and I don't know if it's going to yield the results that it should yield in next year's election, but I thought about this a moment ago. Last, for the past 4 years of President Donald Trump, and we use this analogy, but it works. It's like we all stepped outside the Matrix all of a sudden, and we saw everything for what it really was. Prior to Trump, to a lesser extent, and before social media kind of took off, right? There was always, for those paying attention, you knew how this worked. You knew the bias that was in the media. You knew it was there, but it was held back. The gatekeepers still went and did their job. Trump broke, as Drew said, brains. Just broke people's brains.
And they have not been fixed yet.
And we all stepped outside the matrix because the mainstream media went all in on what they really believe. The left went all in on what they really believe. And they vilified and they demonized Trump for 4 years, leading to the election of President Joe Biden. The problem that the left has right now is they're trying to get everybody back inside the matrix. And people are going, no.
No, I'm not interested.
We know. The media is acting like they're back in the matrix now. Everything's all fine and hunky-dory. But sadly, and thank the good Lord in heaven, the fact that the most of the American people that understand this are not allowing that to happen. And again, this mask mandates, if they start moving forward with it again, I am more and more convinced that it's gonna end up being like one of the biggest issues that breaks people and divides people if they're gonna try to tell vaccinated individuals they gotta cover their faces back up again.
Steve in Roseville, go ahead.
Morning, fellas. Good morning, Sam. I remember back at the start of the first mask mandate that Tim Jong-Walls was coming out and saying what he was looking for was not a drop in deaths, not a drop in hospitalizations, nor even a drop in cases. He was looking for compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I'm concerned, this time it's plain on the face. It's all about compliance this time, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it is all about compliance. I mean, well, exactly. There's been moments of sort of unexpected honesty from people like Tim Walz and people like Dr. Fauci and others that, you know, where they will admit as such, and they will say, you know, it's about compliance. We need more compliance. We just want compliance. You know, the mask wearing is a reminder. It's not really effective in stopping the spread in most situations that normal people find themselves in on a day-to-day basis, but it is a good reminder that we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, and if you want sound medical advice, I wouldn't look to Tony Fauci. I'd look to Rand Paul.
I'd look to my doctor. If you want medical advice, stop looking on Twitter and stop looking at politicians.
If
you want medical advice, talk to a doctor, for God's sake. I'm so sick of Twitter being the place people go to debate medical advice, of all things. It's none of your damn business, first of all, what other people are dealing with and the choices that they make when it comes to health. It's just between you and your doctor. I'm sick of people talking about it all over the place and having these big debates on social media that accomplish absolutely nothing.
Plus, everybody also, and I'm sorry, Drew, I don't mean to, and you corrected me earlier, so just consider this makes us even, right? Okay.
It's my receipt.
You should do all those things that you said, but you can also call Sam at 651-989-5855. If you need a proper diagnosis, she's the one to reach out to.
She loves answering all of your weird questions.
And by the way, back to the it's a good reminder in Walls and all that, that's infuriating to me because it completely ignores the unintended consequences of masking up the youth in our country. And that probably ticked
them. I
know they don't. I know they don't, but they say they do. So they're a bunch of hypocrites and liars. But and that's why I won't make my son do it. I'm like, no, I'm not. No, what? No, this is not how you were going to go through your experience in high school. High school is supposed to be a very important part of your life, but I'm not going to subject you to have to walk around with a mask on, staring at other masked individuals when it's completely and totally unnecessary. Because what's the point? I might as well just have you distance learn rather than just looking at the eyes of your classmates, never being really able to get to know anybody or interact because you've got a face. But you know, there's a part of me that knows that a part of the leftist agenda, they want that, man. They want that disconnect. They don't want you associating with people. They don't want you interacting with people. You know, because unfortunately, that breeds conversation and self-reliance and personal responsibility, and the government would much rather be controlling every single aspect of your life and pumping money into your bank account on a monthly basis in order to keep you dependent on them so they can support your mediocre lifestyle.
Lauren in Hastings, go ahead.
Good morning. Say thank you guys for the last couple days. I really appreciate the COVID talk when you throw out the facts, figures, numbers. I know it gets dry if that's all you do, so I'm glad you're mixing them in. But I think that's the way we have to combat it, is calmly, coolly, with facts and figures. Because otherwise, if you get drawn into that emotion of stories of, but my uncle or my grandmother or something, there's always going to be those stories, whether it be cancer, heart disease, car accident, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they want to do the mask mandate again, I want to go to my school board with facts, figures, and numbers like you guys have been rattling off and say, show me why. Why are we doing this with our children?
Lauren, you're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more, but I will only counter with this. Facts and figures rarely persuade somebody near as much as emotion does. You know, the one thing the left is so much better at than the right is pulling on those emotional heartstrings and making people feel like something is a good idea, and then that allows them to stick their foot in the door and start making these broad sweeping mandates that end up having terrible consequences, that never accomplish what they say they are intended to accomplish. But the left tends to be more persuasive because they play on emotions, not data, facts, and figures.
Yeah, well, it reminds me when you go back to sort of the healthcare debate. That was probably one of the biggest mistakes I thought the GOP made when we were debating Obamacare prior to its passing on that dark winter night, was the fact that the GOP did not do a good job of talking about that and speaking to people from on an emotional level. And I'll speak for me personally. I have to take way too many, you know, prescription pills daily to deal with my blood pressure, right? I'm on blood thinners because I have a mechanical heart valve. I have a graft that replaced my my aorta because I had an aneurysm in there, right? So I'm dealing with these heart issues that I'm going to have for the rest of my life, right? I'm walking around with replacement parts. I took your vaccine, Walls. Don't you dare tell me I got to go put a mask on right now. Heck no. Screw you. I'm not doing it. And my son's not doing it. None of us should. None of you got a vaccine. None of you should be doing it. It's ridiculous.
Vaccinated people aren't ending up in the hospital.
No.
Vaccinated people are not spreading this virus. Vaccinated people are not transmitting this virus. Okay. The number of cases that can be attributed to vaccinated people are statistically minuscule. Absolutely minuscule. That study that the CDC used for this, you know, game changing data and their change in recommendations was a study that was rejected by peer review out of India that used a vaccine that isn't even approved for use in America. So I don't want to hear a word about it.
Speaking of political theater, if you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page, put us some clips from the January 6th investigation hearings going on, and just all the "I weep for my country" from all just these idiots in this hearing. So if you want to watch a bunch of grown men fake cry, go to our website, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and the Justice and Drew page, and we'll get to Katie Pavlich's take on the current topic of potential for new mask mandates, and also her thoughts on this January 6th investigation coming up.
It's a sham! I got work to do. What I'm saying. Welcome back. Final segment of your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. 651-989-5855 is the phone number.
While we get Katie Pavlich on the line, we do have a few seconds to go and play you a little bit of audio from Joe Biden. First piece here out of Fox News. Both of these from Fox News. The 48-year-old political veteran Joe Biden raised eyebrows yesterday when he claimed to have driven an 18-wheeler truck, and a claim that the White House then struggled to defend.
And anyway, and if we don't drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I wish.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I got to.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man. And then the guy said, "Oh, really?" And then he said, "Yeah, well, I got to." There was no evidence that Biden ever drove an 18-wheeler truck. And then Fox News pressed a spokesperson about the president's claim, noting that the riding in a truck is not the same as driving one, at which point the president's spokesperson pointed to the United Federation of Teachers post that touched on Biden driving a school bus in the past as a summer job.
That's totally different.
So did Joe Biden think that when he was driving the school bus, he was driving around an 18-wheeler?
He might now.
There's also this other clip.
This guy's insane.
Where President Biden then mixed up former President Obama with former President Trump during a speech yesterday and then said this.
Back in 2009, during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump. Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. He calls, anyway, that was President Obama when I was vice president.
It's not what Freudian slip means, but okay.
Well, let's bring Katie Pavlich on from Fox News.
It's the leader of the free world there.
So apparently Joe Biden had some pretty deep-seated feelings for former President Barack Obama, I guess, there, huh, Katie?
Yeah, this guy is both a liar and obviously delusional. You know, he's lied about a lot in his past. Remember when he talked about getting arrested trying to visit Nelson Mandela I mean, he has a history of doing these things.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on, right?
Yeah, he just lies and lies and lies about all these things. And, yeah, it's not the definition of a Freudian slip. So, geez. Yeah, I don't know, guys.
Where do you start, you know? Where do you start? So we've been, Katie, we've been talking quite a bit this morning with whatever the left is trying to do now with COVID-19 and this resurgence of not the Delta variant, but this idea that masks are going to be our saving grace. And you know, you got two things happening here, and we can kind of try to unpack this and see where our conversation with you this morning goes. But you know, you have January 6th, which was not a threat to democracy, continues not to be a threat to democracy, but it's at this point, in my opinion, it's gaslighting to take the attention away from actual threats of democracy that are still taking place around the country, especially with continued violence plaguing a lot of our metropolitan areas under the policies of liberals. But at the same time, you have this continued perpetuation of COVID, which I feel like is somewhat of a mask to try to have an excuse for this bad economy. But they're not talking. This is what I want to land on, Katie. What you can tell, this is all just propaganda when it comes to mask wearing, because absent from the whole conversation is everything that we were supposed to do and the most important things when the pandemic started to stop the spread. It was wash your hands, use hand sanitizers, and socially distance. They're not mentioning any of those things. It is singularly focused on masks. And the data around masks, even if you believe it, it showed time and time again with the studies that in a distance of less than 6 feet, the droplets still get out. It can still spread around. So you're going to pack a bunch of kids into school if you believe this is a concern with masks on, thinking you're going to stop it. It's all propaganda.
Yeah, no, it's a big social credit program that the left wants to implement in America. And I think that one of the worst outcomes, obviously the worst outcome of the pandemic is the number of people who died and got sick. But I'd say the second worst is this idea now that this a disease that started in communist China, where they do have a social credit program, where they dictate what you can do, where you can go, what you have to put in your body, what you're going to wear. That is now something that we're seeing the left wanting to do in America. They want vaccine passports. They want to relegate people who don't get vaccinated for whatever reason, which are, there are legitimate reasons, by the way, and there are doctors from institutions, including Ivy League institutions, who do tell people for specific personal reasons that they should not get vaccinated. I know it's against the narrative. You know, they just ignore all of that because they are more interested in this social credit control. And, you know, they're doing a poor job this week of bolstering their argument. I mean, the CDC director yesterday during an interview on CNN was asked about whether she believes in vaccine passports. And she said, yes, I do. But however, the reason that we this is because vaccinated people are infecting vaccinated people. So even if you have a vaccinated venue, there could still be spread of the disease, which completely undermines the entire purpose of a vaccine passport system, right? Because if it can spread either way, then what's the point of having a vaccine passport system? I also think that the mask mandate this week has a lot to do with the teachers' unions.
Yep.
This is something that they have been demanding if they're going to go back to school, that they must have children masked despite children not being A, a source of spread, and B, at risk for serious illness from the disease. So, yeah, this is a larger philosophical issue of the way the left believes in controlling populations, and we're seeing it play out in real time with the backing from the media.
Katie, I'm curious to get your perspective on why you think the teachers union is pushing so hard for masks in school. I mean, every bit of data shows that, you know, kids are not spreaders, kids are not transmitters, kids are not at risk. You know, the teachers are by and large vaccinated for the most part. So even if a kid does come in, you know, with a viral load, the chances of it infecting and making that teacher sick are incredibly slim. So what's the point of pushing so hard for these mask mandates from the teachers union to the point where they've essentially co-opted the CDC and deemed them nearly irrelevant?
Yeah, well, I'm not a crazy leftist union person, so I don't really understand how to get into the head of these people.
So, you're with me and like, John. It doesn't make any damn sense.
There's no logic. It's like this living in fear and panic all the time, which I also don't understand. I don't believe that it's a genuine fear. I believe it's just there are some people in the world who believe in control at every level, and this is just another way for the teachers union to extort taxpayers, to extort the federal government, to extort parents to be in control of their children by, requiring that when they are in their classroom, they will be masked and parents have nothing to say about it. It's this broader idea of the left's idea of community and family, right? Like they believe in Marxism and on the left that the family unit should be discarded, that parents shouldn't have a say. We're seeing this push now that kids should be able to go get the vaccine without their parents' consent. They should be able to get sex changes without their parents' consent and other medical procedures. So this is an ideology that doesn't believe in parents having a say. They believe in the collective and that they know better. And so that's the only way that I can understand it because, you know, again, here we are with them always beating everyone over the head with follow the science, and they are not following the science on any of this. None of it.
No, it plays into the current, obviously, it plays into the current divisions that we already have in this country. And my first sort of instinctive reaction, I had a couple actually, when all this resurgence talk of mass started coming around is like, man, they want to divide the country further. They're further politicizing this. They want to turn the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, but really they want to turn that into left versus right. And, you know, and again, I think it is the divide and conquer. They want the country wrapped up in a world of chaos, right? So that, and I don't think it's because they have any belief at the moment, Katie, that they can go so far as a social credit score system like China, or that they can fully implement sort of Marxist ideals and maybe not fully get critical race theory, you know, embedded into the curriculum. So they're kind of dancing around the edges. But what I feel like this is that it's the long game. And it's a long game that actually started going back to the Obama administration. And this is essentially the, you know, the third term for Obama now. And what they're doing is they know they may not get everything they want right now, but the more division that they sow and the more chaos they create, even if they end up losing control in Congress next year, when it rolls back around, they're going to be better positioned to move forward again to try to get what they ultimately want.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. From the beginning, this has been about political power generally and changing fundamentally the tenets of the country. And that, you know, never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
And they've certainly taken advantage of every aspect of this crisis. So, you know, I think that people are frustrated. They feel powerless, especially if if you have a kid in school and you're paying property taxes and you can't afford to send them to private school because you're paying property taxes, or if you're an inner city kid whose mom works minimum wage and can't homeschool you. And so, you know, those are the kids who are subjected to this, you know, this ideology the most. And this is just the first step with the mask. I mean, wait until they demand vaccinations for kids under 12, despite this disease not affecting them in the way that, like, the flu would, right? And so there are going to be many, many battles ahead on this issue, for sure.
Well, you know, Katie, I think we missed the obvious answer here. I think if Simone Biles had just gone and competed, we wouldn't be having any of these problems right now. So
just to distract from Simone Biles.
I'm kidding. It's total just...
I have a silver lining on that, because Suni Lee just won the Olympic gold in the women's all-around because she dropped out. Her family, her dad built her a balance beam when they were kids.
They couldn't
afford to buy one, and he was paralyzed in 2019, and she had two family members die from COVID. So it's a pretty amazing moment for her.
Wow.
So
that's a great story. Congratulations to Suni Lee. That's fantastic.
I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And if that is the result of all the ridiculous nonsense on both sides when it comes to Simone Biles, then I'll take it. I'm taking it. And I'm sure that gold medal winner will too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some good news.
Katie, when are you going to be on TV again?
I'll be on the 5 tonight, so I will see you there.
I'm waiting for the one day when we ask and she just goes, I'm on TV right now.
We look up and you're just on the phone with us.
Or she says, never again. I quit. I quit. I'm done.
Never again.
You'll never see my face on TV again. Joining Justice and Drew full time.
Thanks, Katie. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Take care. Thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh. She's awesome.
Yes, she is.
All right. I learned stuff today. Drew, did you learn stuff today?
Nope.
I learned ZZ Top had a back catalog, actually. Sam, what did you learn today?
Thanks for asking. Around 6:30 this morning, I learned more about Minnesota's recommendations for masking requirements in schools and what you might be able to expect for your kids this fall.
That's a big fat no.
Suck it! No!
CD suck it!
CD suck it!
Throughout the 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. hours, I learned more about the CD suck it's flip-flopping on masks and the effectiveness of the vaccine and masks and all the misinformation that's just being dumped on us every day.
And the hate swell.
Flow through you.
Center for it. Deceptive control.
If you missed any of those conversations, you're going to want to catch up on the show. Find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew.
Be a loser.
Yeah, listen to all of them.
Do those
over
things.
And over on repeat.
You can go listen to the call where Alyssa called in and got all mad at us and then hung up like a coward.
You know that she hung up and then just was like, yeah, go me.
I feel pretty good about myself.
She was like telling those guys what's what.
She got us good.
Yeah.
She really put us in our place.
She's like, I really got them.
Yeah, I don't know if I can really continue to even do the show.
I know. I'm going to cry even harder than I normally do on the way home.
Still disappointed. I wanted to get into that one.
I did too. I was all ready, man. I was all ready to go.
We got a roundtable tomorrow.
What Sam Learned is also brought to you by Advisory Partners. You can learn more about advisory how they partners. Can help you maximize value in selling your business at Advisory Partners.
Advisory Partners.
They sponsor it every day, including tomorrow when we have the roundtable.
That's right. Thank you, Sam. What a segue.
Advisory Partners.
Yeah, I'm a radio professional.
Rob Dorr from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus and Howard Root. Will be joining us. Howard Root.
Root and Door
for the Friday Roundtable. Should be a very contentious Friday news quiz.
It
so
actually
you'll wanna,
will be.
It will very much will be. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 9. I don't want nobody.